All right, buckle up, everyone, because we've got a lot of ground to cover today. 2 days worth of AI news coming at you hot off the press. It's a mix of tech articles straight from the source development updates, really a whirlwind of information about how fast this field is changing.
It's a fire hose, isn't it?
Absolutely, and that's why we're here, right? To help you cut through the noise and understand what really matters.
What are the things we should actually be paying attention to?
Exactly, from November 19th and 20th.
Oh, yeah.
So let's dive right in.
Let's do it.
First up, Google's AI model Gemini just got a pretty significant upgrade. Specifically, we're talking about a memory upgrade for advanced users. So now it can actually remember your preferences and tailor its responses accordingly.
Kind of bringing us closer to that idea of, the personalized AI assistant.
Yeah, like no more repeating yourself every time you need something, which, can be a pain when you're dealing with some of these AI models right now.
Oh yeah, for sure. And they've actually given users some control over this too, with like remember and forget commands, and even a whole page to manage, what Gemini
So
stores.
you can tell it to remember, like, I don't know, my favorite sports team or my preferred writing style.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's pretty neat. But hold on, I get that personalization is cool and all, but doesn't this also raise a red flag? Like, what about the danger of ending up in a filter bubble? If AI is only feeding me information that aligns with my preferences, doesn't that limit my exposure to different perspectives?
Oh yeah, you've hit on a really crucial point. Personalization is super convenient, but it could definitely reinforce our existing biases. I
Right.
think it's something we need to be really careful about, like how this technology is shaping, our access to information. And are we ensuring that we're not just stuck in echo chambers?
It's a balance, isn't it?
For sure.
Okay, well, let's shift gears over to Microsoft. Their Ignite conference this year was packed with AI announcements, but the one that really stood out to me was the introduction of specialized AI agents.
Oh yeah, there were a bunch.
Yeah, like they've got agents now for handling HR tasks, they have an agent for searching through documents, even one that takes meeting notes.
I mean, imagine,
Yeah.
a world where all of your everyday software has just this AI assistance built in.
It almost sounds too good to be true.
Yeah, it's wild.
Like, think about it with these new Microsoft agents handling everything from HR tasks to digging through documents. Could this be the beginning of the end for tedious office work as we know it?
Right.
Why?
I mean, maybe. It's certainly a possibility. Like AI taking over those repetitive tasks could really free up human potential for more complex, and fulfilling work.
Yeah, that's the hope, right?
Yeah, and think about it.
Yeah.
This could lead to like increased efficiency, productivity. But, on the other hand,
Yeah.
it also raises all sorts of questions about like the nature of work. Is that going to change? And what are those skills that we're all going to need to be successful in this new landscape?
Yeah, those are questions for another day, but for now, let's talk about another thing that Microsoft is working on. They're not stopping there. Get this. In 2025, Teams is getting a real-time translation agent that can handle 9 languages.
Nine
And it
languages.
keeps the speaker's voice.
Wow.
That's insane.
This is like a.
Like, imagine seamless international collaborations
Right.
where language is no longer this obstacle to communication.
Right. It's incredible how this could like revolutionize global teamwork and, foster deeper cross-cultural understanding.
Yeah, breaking down those barriers. But it's easy to get caught up in the headlines from these big players like Google and Microsoft, right? They're the ones who are always making the news. But there's a whole world of AI advancements happening beyond them.
What?
Like, for example, Suno, an AI music company. They just released V4 of their music generator. It can do more than just compose songs now. It can actually like remaster older tracks and
Yeah.
even help you write lyrics with their Remi feature.
So now AI is not just creating music, but it's also helping refine and improve existing music. I
Exactly.
like that.
And it's not just about music. AI is also getting better at interacting with the digital world as a whole. There is this new agent called Runner H that can automate web tasks using something called pixel level understanding.
Oh, I've heard about this.
So that means it doesn't just read text on a website, it actually sees the website like a human would.
So it's understanding those visual elements.
Yeah, and that's huge for making AI more human-like in the way it interacts with the digital world.
It's a big step.
Okay, so we've talked about AI agents, music generators, visual understanding. All this advancement requires some serious computing power. What's happening on the hardware front?
So that's a key piece of the puzzle, right? As these AI models get more complex, the demand for processing power is just exploding. We've already seen OpenAI's CEO investing in a chip startup. which suggests they're really anticipating this growing need.
Yeah, it sounds like we're on the verge of like a chip race for AI dominance. But it's not just about power, is it? It's also about energy consumption and cost.
Oh, for sure, for sure. You know, training these massive AI models, it uses a tremendous amount of energy. So that raises concerns about the environmental impact and, of course, the cost.
And it's just not sustainable long term.
Right. So that's why researchers are looking at these alternatives, like analog chips, which could potentially be much more energy efficient.
You mentioned analog chips earlier. Can you explain a little bit more how they work and why they're gaining traction in the AI world?
Okay, so analog chips, they process data differently than the digital chips that we're all used to. So they work with these continuous signals rather than, you know, the ones and zeros of digital systems. And this makes them particularly well-suited for tasks like pattern recognition signal processing, which are both, you know, essential for a lot of AI applications.
So they're kind of like a more natural fit for the way that AI processes information.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So analog chips could be a key player in making AI more sustainable and accessible.
Potentially, yeah.
All right, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about the legal and ethical questions surrounding how these AI models are trained. You know, they need massive amounts of data to learn, but who owns that data?
So that is the million-dollar question right now. It's a very hot topic.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got these two contrasting examples. On one hand, you have OpenAI's CEO, you know, investing in this chip startup, which really emphasizes the importance of training data. But then you have this Indian news agency that's suing OpenAI, claiming that they use their content without permission to train their models.
That seems a little shady.
Yeah, and it really goes to the heart of this question of who owns the data that fuels AI.
Like, where's the line between training and stealing?
Exactly.
Because you need the data to train the models, but you also need to respect intellectual property rights.
Absolutely.
And this brings us to another interesting development. Microsoft struck a deal with HarperCollins to use nonfiction books for AI training. Yeah, authors have the option to opt out, but it raises the question of whether this sets a precedent for how companies will access and use creative work in the future.
Yeah, it definitely feels like a step towards formalizing data access for AI training. But it also brings up concerns about the control and compensation for creators.
Yeah, it seems like with every advancement in AI, we're faced with a whole new set of questions and challenges.
Well, that's the nature of groundbreaking technology, right? AI is evolving so rapidly, and it's essential to have these conversations now to make sure that its development aligns with our values and ultimately benefits society as a whole.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground just in this first part. Stay with us for part two, where we'll explore even more fascinating developments and the implications they hold for the future.
Can't wait. It's crazy to think about all this stuff, you know, all this AI stuff we're talking about. It can feel like it's way out there. But these advancements are already impacting our lives in pretty tangible ways.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's easy to get lost in all the hype and forget that AI is already changing how we work, how we create, even how we interact with the world.
Yeah.
Can you give us some specific examples of that?
Absolutely. We're seeing AI being used in all sorts of unexpected places, like healthcare, for instance. The National Institutes of Health just unveiled Trial GPT. It's an AI specifically designed to help match patients to clinical trials.
Yeah.
Now, it's not trying to replace doctors or anything, but it's streamlining this process that can be incredibly time-consuming and complex.
Oh, that makes sense. It's almost like AI is stepping in to handle the more tedious tasks so that the human experts can focus on the bigger picture.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a trend we're seeing across different fields. You know, it's not about replacing human expertise. It's about augmenting it.
I like that. Augmenting human expertise. That's a good segue into our next topic, because Microsoft's CEO, Satya Nadella, he recently laid out his vision for the future of AI, and it's all about agents. He highlighted three capabilities that are really driving agent development: multimodal interfaces, reasoning and planning, and long-term memory and tool use.
Right. So basically, AI that can understand and respond to different forms of input, like text, voice, even images.
Exactly. And Nadella claims that these capabilities are improving exponentially. Like, we're not just seeing incremental progress, we're seeing leaps and bounds forward.
It's wild.
Yeah, he even talked about a new scaling law for inference compute, which basically refers to how much processing power AI needs to actually use what it's learned.
Right, right.
And what's exciting is it seems like we're not hitting a limit. We're actually discovering a whole new way to measure AI's potential.
Like finding a hidden reserve of energy.
Yeah, it could unlock capabilities we haven't even imagined yet.
Potentially, yeah.
Now for something completely different. This next one is a little bit out there. Get ready for this. Imagine AI that can actually track you based on the bacteria you leave behind.
Okay, that's kind of creepy.
I know, right? Like, it's fascinating from a scientific perspective. But it definitely raises some concerns about privacy.
Yeah, big time. It really shows how AI is blurring the lines between the physical and digital worlds. You know, we're leaving these digital footprints everywhere we go, and AI is getting better and better at using that data to track and analyze our behavior.
It's incredible how AI is finding its way into so many different aspects of our lives.
I know, it really is. And it's only going to become more pervasive in the years to come. So it's important to be aware of these developments and to start thinking critically about what they mean for the future.
Okay, so we've seen how AI is being used in everything from matching patients to clinical trials to composing music. But with all this potential comes a lot of responsibility, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we can't just focus on all the shiny new features and ignore the potential consequences. As AI gets more integrated into our lives, we really need to be asking those tough questions about ethics, about responsibility, and about what kind of future we're creating.
Yeah, it's not just about the technology itself. It's about how we use it. So what are some of the key ethical considerations we should be thinking about as AI continues to advance?
Well, one major concern is bias. You know, if AI models are trained on biased data, they can actually perpetuate and even amplify existing societal inequalities.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. Imagine an AI system used for hiring decisions. That's been trained on data that reflects historical gender or racial biases. This could lead to unfair and discriminatory outcomes.
Yeah, it's like baking the bias right into the system.
Exactly.
So how do we prevent that?
Well, it's not just about the data itself. It's also about who's developing these systems and what values they're bringing to the table. Mm. We need diverse teams of developers who are mindful of these ethical considerations and are committed to building AI that benefits everyone.
Right. It's about making sure that AI is a force for good, not a tool for perpetuating existing inequalities.
Exactly.
Another concern I have is the potential impact on jobs. As AI gets more capable of automating tasks, what happens to the people who currently perform those jobs?
That's a really valid concern. We need to think about the economic implications of AI and how we can ensure a just transition for workers who may be displaced by automation. This might involve retraining programs, social safety nets, maybe even exploring new economic models that account for the changing nature of work.
So basically, we need to be prepared for the changes that AI is going to bring and make sure that everyone benefits from these advancements.
Yeah, it's not just about the technology itself. It's about how we manage its impact on society.
Right. It's about ensuring that AI is a tool for progress, not a source of new problems.
Exactly.
So for our listeners who are interested in learning more about this and staying informed, what resources would you recommend?
Well, there are a bunch of great organizations doing important work in this area. The AI Now Institute, for example. They're focused on the social implications of AI, and they advocate for responsible development. The Partnership on AI is another one. They bring together diverse stakeholders to address the ethical challenges posed by AI.
So it's like a collaborative effort.
Yeah. Exactly. And for those who want to dive deeper into the technical aspects, resources like the MIT Technology Review and the OpenAI blog offer really insightful analysis and commentary on the latest advancements.
That's great. Those are some really valuable resources. It sounds like there's a growing community of researchers, policymakers, and advocates who are working to ensure that AI is developed and used responsibly.
Absolutely. And it's crucial that we all participate in this conversation. You know, AI is not just a technological issue, it's a societal one. The choices we make today will shape the future of AI and its impact on our world.
It's really up to all of us to ensure that AI is used for good.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground today. From the latest breakthroughs to the ethical challenges we face, it's clear that AI is rapidly evolving and it has the potential to transform our lives in profound ways. It's a really exciting time to be following these developments. You know, as AI continues to advance, we can expect even more groundbreaking innovations and thought-provoking questions. The future of AI is being written right now, and it's up to all of us to ensure it's a future we can all be proud of.
Well said. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the world of AI. Until next time, keep questioning, keep learning, and stay engaged in this crucial conversation.